advise you to get off the streets as quickly as possible. It'll soon be a war up there.
And we are, as a people, opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths.
I know for a fact.
And to secret proceedings.
Weapons of mass destruction.
I have a dream.
I take the threat very seriously.
A new world order.
Your government thanks you for your participation.
You are now listening to the world famous Sofa King podcast.
Please read from sheets.
I am
Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with me, Todd.
You say funny things.
Do we have Willet down here?
Willow. I like that movie.
Let me look up the bottle. If I see Willet? The bottle,
I recognize it. No, we don't have Willet.
Because I don't remember having had it before, but we had to do some classwork yesterday, and Reggie,
Is it that crazy
Williams.
One? Crazy shape?
No.
No, because we do have that up there. It's called Willet.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. That's
called he brought that. A different Willet. That's from, and it was fucking delicious.
That's from Cat. Was it this Willet, the one with the regular bottle like that?
What is it? Let me see. What are you looking on?
Google.
Oh, we do have that.
Yeah, we have the four. He brought the 4 year.
We have the Willet
straight
pot
rye.
Still. We have that.
We have the Willet have pot that, yeah. Still.
That went away.
But that Willet 4 year, man, that was fucking delicious.
I didn't know that was a whiskey.
It
I thought
was
something
buttery.
New.
It was like, it was really unique.
And we haven't touched that crazy thing in a while.
It's a genie bottle.
Yeah. Yeah, the genie bottle up there on the top shelf.
But right now, we're drinking the Tiger Thick.
That's a weird name. Is it like Thailand whiskey? That sounds like a Thailand
whiskey.
No,
it's
bourbon,
it's an American bourbon mixed with Japanese whiskey. It's batch number one.
A bad name.
Thank you very much.
I like it.
Sammy Walsh. I don't like the name. I think it's a horrible name.
I think it's stands out.
It does stand out.
It reminds me of Tupac or something.
And it's Tiger Thick with three.
I'm getting that put on my stomach.
Yeah. Maybe that's the thing. Maybe that's the audience.
Tiger Thick.
Maybe they're trying to sell it for bottle services and clubs and shit. You know what I mean? It smells like it's going to taste like cherry and vanilla. That's the smell I'm getting.
Sounds good.
Really smooth. It tastes like it costs $90.
It's a little bit hot.
Leathery. There's a leather.
48%, so it's a little bit high.
There's like a leather to it. It's really good.
I'm trying to get the vanilla aroma.
I'm not getting it. I got the smell. It doesn't taste like I thought.
It's almost like a honey, like
a little bit.
It's good though.
I'm having a hard time pinpointing the main flavor.
It is. It's like hot in a different way too though. It's like not like annoying hot, but it's almost like pleasantly hot in the back of your throat, like a cum shot.
Okay, no, I did just get cherry.
But he got that.
There's like some complex. There's like a complex. Wood.
I was reading the story. You didn't read the story on the back. Read that shit.
What does it say?
Thick boy overcomes.
Thick boy.
In the ring.
If I can read it. Ah, the tiger, the thickest big cat on the planet.
Oh, see?
Born blind, they hunt within a year and develop night vision in two. A thick boy we know also overcame adversity to become a warrior in the ring and a slayer on the stage.
Is this Brendan Schaub's? This
might Here's be Brendan to the Schaub's fighting whiskey. Spirit, to the uniqueness of each one's path.
I think it's Brendan Schaub's whiskey. That's what that sounds like. The
Brendan Schaub's whiskey.
I don't know who Brendan Schaub is.
He's a UFC fighter.
There it is. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it even talks about the mash, like the specific mash they use.
Yeah, this is it's Brendan Schaub's whiskey.
It's got a really nice aftertaste.
How much?
I'm still tasting it.
It's good. It's really good, I think.
How much a pound for beef in California?
It's funny because
Blake Stubbs is asking.
For a pound of beef?
Dave doesn't know, but
ground beef or like steak or what?
Beef. Yeah, steak.
Ground beef is probably $5.99 a pound. Steak, it would depend.
That's about what it's been.
A T-bone's probably $12.99 to $14.99 a pound. If it's on sale, you can get it for $8.
It's supposed to go to you.
Okay. Yeah, so Brendan Schaub. I actually listened to something with Brendan Schaub describing the process that he took. I think it was on Rogan to pick this. It took like a couple UFC years. Yeah, he was a UFC fighter. Now he has a podcast. He's pretty popular. He's a stand-up comedian. Some people hate on him and talk a bunch of shit, but he seems like a good guy. He's funny.
Well, thank you, Sammy Walsh. That's a very, yeah. It's very unique. It's you hit good. That, you hit that a certain price point, and no matter what, the whiskey is unique.
Yeah.
Like you get to a point where whiskeys can, like, this is a very unique.
I got like a leathery taste. So very smooth though, but there was heat still.
It might've been, I was getting like a specific, like woody taste, a little bit of cherry.
Maybe that's what I'm saying about leather. Like,
I didn't get the wood taste, which I like that. I like,
it was a good wood taste. It was like an old.
That's the barrel. Or, yeah. That's the barrel. You know.
It wasn't like.
Brent's taste is off anyway. He's fucking ammonia and fucking leather.
Another taste.
I don't know. It's interesting. There's a little bit of unfinished touch there too, though.
Really? I didn't get that.
I got a little.
Let me see. Let me try it again.
Like a little isopropyl, like at the end there. Hit a little.
I didn't get anything.
I didn't get
like
that at all.
That slide was fucking smooth.
Like that shit. Yeah. I surprised myself. I was like, ooh.
I saw that happen.
That's tight.
Brad slid his glass towards himself as he let go of it to grab the bottle in the cork.
And it clinked
open
on
it,
itself.
And it like clinked at the bottom, stopped perfectly for the pour. Yes. That was impressive. I mean, my overall impression is that it's good.
It's very good.
It's complex though. There's some weirdness there. There's like leathery and there's crazy. Like, there was an alcohol taste though. I tasted a little bit of unfinished taste where it's like
I got it on that one.
Like
a little bit of alcohol.
Yeah, I don't want to say I
got the vanilla. I got the vanilla.
Did you? It's all over the vanilla. Place. Drink is
an interesting
a little bit
drink.
Different.
It wasn't hot at all this time.
Really?
No spice. No heat at all.
Well, because you smoothed your taste. That first drink's always a little warm, and the taste buds get knocked down.
Extremely
smooth.
Yeah.
Wow.
I had just eaten a cookie before that.
That's good. I like it because I mean it is different from a lot of other stuff. You know what I mean?
Very
like,
different.
So. You might be getting the unfinished from the Japanese part. Like the Japanese whiskey is going to be a less, like that, it's less probably. Finished whiskey.
Well, thank you, Sammy Walsh. That keeps you at the top of the food.
Yeah. And Brent said you were feeling bad about us talking shit about you not sending us bottles or you were slacking.
It's
a joke, man.
Yeah. I think it's said like, oh, dang, this one's like a little low or Sammy hasn't sent us a bottle.
Yeah. The Nobushi's going low.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I was like, dang, he's going to have to
re-up. Yeah. Don't ever feel anybody listening that sent us whiskey, like we appreciate it. You know, it's actually amazing that what
it's
we
amazing.
Have, like,
it's amazing,
you know, and so like we're thankful for it. So don't think that.
And to be perfectly honest,
talking
if,
shit, it's
if you haven't sent
fun,
us whiskey
you know?
Yet, then what the fuck's wrong with you?
Yeah, for sure.
Whiskey.
Yeah. Now that's genuine.
That's now I'm coming from a real place.
Yes,
man.
It doesn't have to be good whiskey.
No, it's been done before.
It really doesn't. Yeah. Please don't send us flavored whiskey.
Yeah.
I
haven't tried to throw up off whiskey.
Like
in a
you could
bit.
Just buy like your grocery store's generic whiskey. Like
I'll
we would
you
thank you for it.
I was using a highlighter earlier and it ran out. And I literally
full of whiskey.
I got ready to grab some whiskey. I was like, no, this is like fucking Japanese whiskey. I put a little whiskey in the back of the highlighter and it fixes it. And I would like looked over and I grabbed the fucking spicy goat whiskey. I was like, that's the one for the highlighter right there. So, and it totally fixed
that's
the highlighter
perfect.
Though.
Perfect.
Yeah. I was like, that's what I'm using.
It totally fits the highlighter.
That fucking spicy goat.
Yeah. That shit's fucking
Derek
nasty.
Hardison, if you're still listening.
Yeah.
Man, this shit was gross.
Yeah.
And then didn't he send us a bottle of the regular goat, which was actually good, but it was like super small?
Yeah, where's that at?
It's right there.
Yeah, he sent us
it's
like,
a fucking
yeah.
airplane bottle.
Yeah.
Like an
airplane
bottle
of good whiskey.
Like good whiskey, and then a fucking
big ass
bathtub
bottle of shit
full
whiskey.
Of
really, that should have been the other way. If you're going to have that should be a sample of some weird ass hot whiskey. Yeah. Yeah, this shit was gross. Yeah. I'm going to smell it. It's yucky.
That's the shit. If we start doing like flavor shots, you can come down.
Yeah,
come to the Sophie King studio and purchase some shots from our
Why
bottles.
Haven't I given people more of that when they come by?
Like I said, like I think I said it at the time, if you made some kind of a whiskey based Bloody Mary, you could probably use that.
Anything
if
like
you
that.
Like
yeah.
took some tomato sauce, added the whiskey, did your thing, I think you'd be in a good spot.
Yeah, they call that a gochilada with that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you put a beer
it's
in
chupacabra.
It. You put a beer. Yeah.
So as chupalata. Always, every week chupalata. We want to thank
that's it right there
the chupalata. Yeah,
I get an RBI for that one, but nice. I took it home.
Yeah,
we want to thank our primary sponsor El Yucateco Hot Sauce, king of flavor since 1968. We love them. We put them in our food. And we're happy about it. And so do many of our listeners, including a Reddit user, SurfinMac15, who made some delicious looking tacos with guacamole, sour cream, and a healthy dose of Caribbean.
Mm.
Was it Caribbean? Or was
I mean,
it
that's
Chipotle?
Pretty sophisticated for a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Well, he says Caribbean.
She.
She says Caribbean, but it is, in fact, Chipotle.
Yeah, that is. Yeah.
See, they can't even read yet. It's a 15-year-old girl. Is,
oh, it says it's fake meat tacos, so I'd even be happy.
Oh.
But they're good-looking tacos, good healthy amount of guacamole.
See, that's why you gravitated towards that one.
Dude, Maddox is full on Triple X. He fucking loves it. He has a mini. He has a little mini for his pocket and shit. He fucking totally eats Triple X now. I mean, smaller doses, but
smaller doses, more than
like any of our fucking grown ass friends, you know?
Yeah, I'm not talking to him.
What are you guys fighting about?
No, because he walked by my booth and just fucking kept on walking. He was saying hi.
Yeah, oh,
I had to yell at him.
He was on his way to fucking Hot Wheels or something, probably.
No, he's walking the other way. He's walking away.
Oh, he's already done. He's done. What did he get? Oh, he got a Halo figure or something, I think.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
No, he got Star Wars, but then he got a Halo figure that day, that Brad was doing. He made me take pictures. I was supposed to show you.
Star Wars.
Then the next day he got a Halo figure though. It was like Saturday Sunday.
Were you out there on Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah, Saturday he got Star Wars figure.
Oh, maybe he got the Halo figure at the farmer's market then. I thought he got it from one of those booths by you. I took a picture for him. He wanted me to take a picture of that Star Wars figure. What's it called?
I think you showed it to me.
Yeah. Darth Maul.
Yeah, here's the Halo guy though. He's like setting it up in the fucking flower bed. He wants like real shots of like he's thinking about switching phones. He's like, I'm going to get a fucking Pixel just because I can take good pictures of my characters in the fucking.
He's doing crazy shit. And like,
that's good. That's a good picture.
Put the smoke in the bag and like dust flying through the air and like all that shit. Like you need to get.
I saw that one, that figure. And I was like, what is this? Remember? I was like, what is this one? Like Yu-Gi-Oh or something.
Then I made that for him. He's like, oh, it's fucking awesome. Like, he just, I don't know.
Who that is. Is that Star Wars?
Yeah, it's a Clone Wars character of some sort. I don't know either. Dave's nerdy enough to know, but.
I don't know.
So, anyways. Yeah. Cool. Anyways, he likes Triple X. And I got his little friend, David Dean's son, to try some.
Oh, is that who that was? Little Elliot. Lego haircut?
Yeah. That's him. All right. Elliot.
I didn't know that was David's son. I would have given him a hard time. Either. I didn't know who he was.
Either. He ate the green on fucking pizza or something. I can't remember what we're eating. I think it was pizza, and he's like, oh my God. He's like, that's delicious. It's amazing. And then he's all, when that kicked in, he's like, but it's so hot though, but it's amazing. And I was like, you got to try this one, dude. I was like, you got this. And I gave him Triple X, and he smelled it. He's like, oh, it smells so good. That smells so good. And then he took a fucking little bite of it, like put a drop on there. Yeah, and he was just, I was like, you got to handle it, bro. You got to do it. I was training the fucking younglings.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Because he's like, I think he's 11 or 12, and then Maddox is 13. So. Yeah.
He didn't get it because Maddox was like talking shit to me. And I was like, what'd she say, bro? he was like, huh? He didn't get it. I was like, what'd she say? And he wasn't getting it.
I got to show this picture of him with his fucking hair down. It's fucking ridiculously long, dude. His hair is fucking crazy. Yeah, I can't believe how fucking long it is.
I'm going to sneak into your house and cut it.
Kind of sleep. He would be fucking devastated.
Yeah, that's what he gets. Shouldn't talk shit.
That shit would hit hard, bro. Look at this fool.
Yeah.
What's it normally in a ponytail?
It's always in a ponytail. I never see it down. Damn. When I saw that, I was like, fucking shit, his hair is long.
He looks crazy, like a Swede.
Man. Yeah.
He needs to be wearing a death metal shirt.
Yeah.
Totally. My buddy Joe was like, that motherfucker better learn how to play guitar with that hair. He's like, if he can't play guitar, he's not allowed to have that fucking hair.
Yeah, yeah. So and as always, we want to thank our patrons, especially now. Inflation is crazy. Gas is fucking stupid. I know that people are feeling it, so we really appreciate those of you who are still supporting the show. Still
and if you
patrons.
Can't, and if you can't support with patronage, like if you're listening, that you know, it counts, you know. So we're thankful for thankful for everybody.
We're thankful for all of you. I mean, thankful. We really are. But we always want to thank our patrons.
Are you feeling thankful today?
We are. And
I got a big thing of water.
If you're looking at it and you're like, yo, I want those bonus episodes, or I'm tired of waiting until Friday to listen to the second one. If
only
you're
a
commuter
dollar.
Or whatever, you can get the episodes early. You can get those bonus episodes. It's all right there. I apologize in advance that a couple times this summer I'm probably going to be in Vaughn mode.
We were just talking about that. Even if Dave can't record, we're still going to hit the Patreon episodes.
We'll make sure we do something. Yeah. We get something out there.
So
whenever I get a a chance to spend a week with Vaughn, that becomes my life's priority. Yes. So, but anyway,
nobody fought you for it, so don't even fret over
it.
I did. You're stupid.
And I get tons of support. I also want to thank people for birthday wishes. I had a whole lot of birthday wishes from a whole lot of people.
That's nice. Nobody told me anything on my birthday.
Diana sent me the bizarre voodoo doll that Gaysa made for her a secret Santa.
Of course she did.
So she sent me that. Diana didn't send me shit. Super, super sweet. Thank you all for the birthday wishes. Thank you for supporting the show. It means a lot to all of us. It's why we keep doing it.
A removable sleeve. Did you see that?
No, I didn't.
What's that?
You put a carrot in there just like for lunch. Huh. Like you put a carrot in the sleeve inside the Dave doll and you put in your lunch bell, but you can take it out to clean it, of course. I think that's what it's for. It's like a vegan voodoo doll just for carrots or like any
kind. It is kind of voodoo doll.
Yeah. What happens if you fuck it? Does he feel it? Do they do like the voodoo master thing?
I hadn't considered that.
I've never felt it.
I thought it was for vegetables, is what I was thinking.
Either of them.
Yeah. Yeah. But I considered it. Yeah.
If anybody fucked it, I didn't feel it. So
he's loose as fuck, is why.
Well, maybe you should try
it. Yeah, Axel fucked it, is why.
Yeah, all those eggs in there.
Yeah, it's a baby carrot.
Yeah.
37 eggs. You're not doing nothing to this guy. Yeah. Right? It's like 8 pounds, 6 ounces.
38.
Hard boiled eggs. 38.
Yeah.
Always been 38.
He's
been
37, training. I think.
He's like a Pokemon trainer.
Yeah.
How many Pokeballs can he fit in his ass?
I think the event horizon of the last 38 didn't go all the way in. It has to disappear. You have to
go horizon.
You have to put a flashlight on. Click, click. You got to put the little.
Have you seen Event Horizon?
Yeah, I did. I saw it in his.
That movie's fucking creepy.
That is a rough movie, bro.
Dude, it's
that's not
creepy.
A movie for me. Yeah, no, I hate that all sci-fi movies tend to go that way.
I don't. Now. Even when I was young, like I like horror movies. I remember watching that movie in my living room. Nobody was around. The lamp was on. I was sitting in a reclining chair and I fucking literally lifted my feet up off the floor
and came on your belly and
put them up in the chair because like fucking I was getting you know what I mean, like you start getting the weird, like,
I might have to rewatch
the heebie-jeebies.
I don't remember,
man. That motherfucking movie was fucking weird. Yeah,
I remember Alien when I was young. Alien really got
this
to me.
Fucking Event Horizon is fucking awesome.
Event Horizon's evil. Alien, though, that whole coming out of the fucking stomach scene in the diner.
Alien
shit.
Is scary as fuck, dude. Because, yeah. I mean, the first one is just a straight-up horror movie. It's not an action movie. All the other ones are action movies.
I just don't like Jamie Lee Curtis. I can't watch Alien.
Not Jamie Lee Curtis. It's Sigourney Weaver.
It's Jamie Lee Curtis and Last Action.
Yeah, Sigourney Weaver and Halloween, too. I don't really like Halloween. Michael Myers.
Yeah.
Weird.
That's the one with wasn't like the gorillas in the forest and stuff.
Yeah.
That one? Yeah.
Yeah. Kango.
But anyway, thank you, patrons. Thank you, El Yucateco. And as always, check us out on podbelly.com as part of the Podbelly Network to find all of your pods and your bellies.
Kango and Cash. What's that movie?
So our topic today is the one and only David Bowie.
I learned something about his eye.
I learned a lot of shit about it.
I always thought, because even when you see like crazy facts about celebrities, did you know he has this fucking disorder that makes your eyes a different color? Nope, he doesn't.
He doesn't.
That's wrong.
And they're
all
not.
Those, yeah, you see that. They're
that's
not even
the,
a different
they're
color.
Not different color.
Was it,
really,
was it just the pressure pushing down on him?
In the eye.
It's just that the pupils are permanent.
Under pressure.
The pupils are permanently a different size.
Yeah.
And that the wider pupil makes it look like the color is different because there's
like
so much
black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see that.
I learned a lot about him. Like, here's the thing. I've always liked David Bowie. I've always considered him a goat.
What's your favorite movie he's in?
Easy.
Probably Labyrinth.
Fuck yeah.
Maybe The Man Who Fell to Earth.
I heard The Man Who Fell to Earth wasn't that great, but that he got really good. He got like maybe some awards for it, or he got
a lot
esteem.
Of kudos for
yeah.
it. Yeah.
Did you see The Elephant Man? Did you watch any of that? The Elephant Man play that he was in, where he doesn't actually wear an Elephant Man costume. He just changes his voice to try to make up for it.
Well, I know that's
it.
What people do in that play.
I don't
mine's
know.
The,
I,
mine's
I don't
the know wedding singer.
Yeah. He's good in that one. Yeah.
Wasn't that Billy Idol?
No.
Yeah, he's like, get out of the way, David, before you get hurt.
Yeah.
You don't remember that part?
Yeah. No one talks to David Bowie that way.
Yeah.
He says that.
Oddly enough, this morning, I was flipping through TikTok, and I ran into one with Ryan Reynolds talking to some friend of his about Labyrinth, and he was talking about the fact that Labyrinth is in the Wizard of Oz universe, and that David Bowie's character, the Goblin King, is the good witch's son. And he was talking about
is that real? That'd be cool.
He was like, the proof is
they, in the pudding.
They both have this thing about setting you down a path to find freedom. Mm. They both use bubble magic. Mm. Like, their magic is all based on bubbles that they summon. And what? They even said at the end, when Jennifer Connelly is at the end, she's wearing the exact same dress that the good witch wears in The Wizard of Oz.
What?
Yeah.
Did you look that up?
I didn't look at it. There were videos interspersed as he was talking, and I was like, son of a bitch.
I don't know. I want to look that up. Bitch. Someone just, yeah, come on. Oh, Brad's kidding you guys.
What, they're fucking freaking out about that?
That was Billy Idol. come on.
I knew.
Is it not obvious?
Like, I was Sigourney
Weaver, yes. Jimmy Lee. Yeah. There's a whole lead up to that.
Yeah. One of my favorite movies, Taxi, with Robert De Niro.
Spot on.
Yeah, spot on. Good job. Full circle with that joke. It took like 3 years. Full circle back to Robert De Niro.
He was in DC Cab, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah.
Or was it Wings?
I don't know.
Anyway. Was Robert De Niro Taxi? What's the movie? The You Looking at Me? You know when Robert De Niro does that? Are you talking to me?
Taxi Driver.
Yeah, Taxi, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
He's cured himself.
Yeah. No, he keeps talking about the sitcom Taxi.
Mm. Oh.
So anyway, I don't know if any of that's true. I actually tried to look it up while I was researching David Bowie, and I couldn't find, I saw people saying thematically it's similar to The Wizard of Oz, but I didn't find anything that said it was actually set in that universe.
Well, I don't know what she said. The only time she wears a dress is when they're at the crazy fucking ball. The masquerade.
So what
she's done, she's just wearing jeans and a shirt, though.
But it's like, the same dress. It's the
dress.
The,
yeah.
What dress is that from Labyrinth? Who is it at the end? Who's the
Jennifer Connelly?
Jennifer Connelly.
In Labyrinth.
Yeah.
It looks, okay. I don't know if it's exactly the same dress, but like the quick shot that they showed of the good witch, and I was like, yeah, it looks like the same fucking dress to me. Yeah, and they do both use bubble magic.
When's the bubbles in Wizard of Oz, though?
When she like summons shit, it shows up in like a big bubble, like maybe the ruby slippers or something.
I mean, I would be
shit.
More apt to say that maybe Jim Henson was influenced by the Wizard of Oz.
Maybe.
You know what I mean, that, but I don't know.
It could just be low cool key. Theory, this is in Oz, but we didn't have the rights to Oz. Like maybe they were writing a sequel to the Wizard of Oz and couldn't get the rights, you know?
Oh, that's the chick from Top Gun. That's what you're talking about. Yeah.
The immortal.
The new one.
Oh, that's why she's hanging out with Tom Cruise.
That's a different dress.
I mean, it's big.
Yeah, now, yeah,
and fluffy
she's in,
and shit.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a different dress.
Isn't the Good Witch like pink dress?
Yeah, it's pink dress. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's the.
I can hear that song from that Masquerade
Good
Ball.
Witch. It's not same dress.
Anyway, that was according to.
There's that.
Ryan
we just
Reynolds.
Snopes that
yep,
shit.
We did snopes it.
It's not behind a paywall. It's right here.
So. And again, I had to Snopes my own Snopes. It wasn't a paywall. It just didn't like my ad blocker.
Oh, okay.
Mm. Yeah. So David Bowie, I kind of like, I put David Bowie in my brain in the same catalog as maybe Tom Petty, because it's like a Tom Petty song will come on or a David Bowie song will come on. And I'm like, hey, that's a really good song.
Like
that's
not something
that's
you would
really good
to,
song.
Yeah,
like that's a surprisingly good song. But I don't own any albums. I don't seek it out. But when I do hear it, I'm like, oh, that's
you
the
appreciate
shit. Fully appreciate
you appreciate the artist. But
and I think David Bowie was a better artist, and I think he had a much bigger impact.
Yeah,
by far. I mean, the impact that he had on music and on culture, I wasn't tracking it until I was doing this research. I was like, this motherfucker was such a groundbreaker. He was like a cool decade ahead of everything for like three decades. He like set the tone for what
music
like sounds
like,
what people are gonna
too.
Look like.
You
yeah.
That one haircut really accentuates when he's got the fucking the Q-tip, the red Q-tip.
The puffy
yeah, red that one.
Chip, yeah.
Not that one so much. But there's
like a fucking skeleton.
He has a crazy
Twilight.
Like troll doll thing. And you're like, oof, he looks really fucking Skeletor right
it's
there.
It's what he it's the it's definitely the haircut that Ziggy Stardust had, but he also had it
like
in,
that
the,
more,
in earlier songs.
He looks like
as
Frankenstein
well.
With that haircut.
Yeah,
but then sometimes he has a regular haircut, and you're like, "Oh, it's a good looking guy."
Yeah,
you know, yeah, he looks like fucking Robert Redford.
Yeah, where he ate a little bit. I was thinking Robert Redford when I was looking at that picture.
Robert Redford right there.
So he's got, he released a total of 26 albums. He's won
so much.
So much, dude.
Insane Clown Posse's released
the decades of the 70s, he released 15 albums alone.
Crazy.
That's more than one a year, a couple years. Yeah. That's fucking wild. Just pumping that shit out.
7 Grammys. When he died, his estate was worth $100 million.
To be fair, some of those albums flops, though. Like, yeah, a lot some of them. Like, he did put some shit out where people were like, because he was too like experimental and ahead of his time sometimes for the public to figure it out, I think.
For sure. And I really don't track him in my consciousness until the 80s, because that was when I kind of became musically sentient.
Right.
So all those 80s songs that he's released, I'm very super familiar with, more than I am his earlier stuff that's probably arguably better than the stuff from the 80s.
After 86, it's all codpiece.
Yeah.
But
the other thing that I found interesting, like listening, because I spent like an extra hour beforehand. I wouldn't even say diving into a rabbit hole, because it wasn't like I got lost in it. I was just like, I feel like I need to listen to a shitload of his music.
Right.
Because all these songs are being referenced and I don't know what this sounds like. And his music, more than anyone I can think of, from like you pick a song and then pick another song 20 years later, it doesn't sound like it's from the same fucking artist. Like the voice is the same, but the mute, like there's nothing, like you listen to a Prince song from fucking 1985 or one from 2005 and it's like, that's a fucking Prince song.
Right.
Like if you listen to a David Bowie song with that big of a spread in the middle, it's completely different. The instruments they're using, he was really always up on whatever is at what instruments just came out. What's the cutting edge shit? That's what I'm using.
Yeah, man. Know? Yeah. Bowie bonds and Bowie net, all that crazy shit. He was always tech. Yeah. He's a trip, man. He's a weird dude.
And also just like the style, like right now, you know, looking in retrospect, if you think of the 80s, you can picture any hair band or the Eurythmics, or just about anybody. And there was so much androgyny in the 80s.
Right.
Like so many, you know, men who were singers tried to be pretty and have long hair and would fucking straight up wear makeup.
They were saying probably like the antidote to like Crosby, Still and Nash, like Creedence Clearwater. These dudes all look like farmers, you know what
for
I mean?
Sure.
Like during that period, there's a bunch of dudes like farmers, and these new guys were like, I'm going fucking glamorous.
But here's the thing though.
Like sparkly.
David Bowie was doing that shit in the 60s.
Yeah, yeah.
When no one was the only, like, cause he really doubled down on that glam look, like in the early 60s. The only people that were doing so with also like, and I know I'm jumping all over the place timeline wise, like he would be singing in persona of a character, like Ziggy Stardust, sorry, that was from Rock Band.
That was the farmer version.
Ziggy Stardust was a character with a backstory, and the music was written by this person from outer space. And it's, and the only thing I can compare it to is Parliament Funkadelic, which was out before Bowie was doing that, because P-Funk's whole mythology was that they all came from outer space to bring the funk Earth.
I like contemplate a little bit was like his family's history of mental illness and if it played into it, to be like, man, maybe he's just able to ride that fucking wave like harness the power of like split personality and possible,
because he did the same thing like, with the Thin White Gentleman or whatever they called it. Like he gets into this character, and we'll talk about it, like a little bit dangerously, like so too much.
There's
so,
that one part where the fucking urine in the fridge, it's like, that is the most amazing line ever. I was like, I hope if I go crazy, I'm that kind of crazy. Like I want to be like Howard Hughes crazy. Like
the crazy,
my piss
the crazy
jars.
Is definitely in
you'll
there,
be there.
So. I might
you
get
see
there.
The album cover for his album this year is coming out
for who?
David Bowie.
He's got some Machiavelli shit happening.
Fucking no, 2022. Yeah, toy box.
What is that?
That's the album cover. Like, I'm not joking.
No.
Jesus Christ.
Like, it's 2022. It's his album release. This is on his discography.
Did he have some back catalog they're pushing out?
Probably. Yeah. Probably. They all did.
A quote from him early on, later on, rather. He said, I like crazy art and most of the time out there music. Rather than having a hit song these days, I like the idea that I'm in here changing the plan of what society and culture look like and sound like. I did change things. I knew I would. It feels great and very rewarding.
It's wild, man. Like people like stuck with him through every fucking phase of it too. Yeah. Like I watched a couple like hour and a half documentaries, like 3 hours of documentaries probably. And then while I was going through your notes, I was just listening to fucking David Bowie music down here. Right. Just so I'd be like, oh yeah, that's right. Fuck this song. So I don't know. Maybe I got through 6 songs, but the fans would have this fucking outrageous goofy hair, like to the fucking T, like the fucking weird ass bobbed mullet thing that looks like It looks like the fucking hair cartoon. What was that hair cartoon? The fucking this thing.
Oh, from Looney Tunes?
Yeah, what was that thing?
Yeah, I don't know. No, what it
looks
was.
Like a mop.
It was the monster. I don't know.
Yeah,
if that,
yeah.
I don't know
the red
that
one?
The red,
the
red, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That hairdo. And you just see all these people standing out and waiting in line to get in, and they all have that fucking hair and weird big collars and all that
time.
Shit. Yeah.
That was the same year as that cartoon was out.
Yeah, face paints and shit. He was bold, man. And fucking kind of like a fashion genius at the same time.
100%.
As much as he was like a writing genius, you know what I mean? He even says like he's like a writer, like he doesn't like his voice, allegedly. It might be like false.
A lot of singers don't like their own voice. Like they know they sing, but they
can hear the imperfections. They know the effort it takes to do it, and we don't know, like he's just on the edge of cracking. Yeah. Like he barely got that note, but he got the note, so we don't know.
Right.
Because he knows the effort behind it. So I don't know.
Or he didn't hit it exactly how he wanted to, you know? Maybe. Like, he was like, it doesn't sound the same.
And I know it's completely not in the timeline, but I love, and I have since I was a kid, the bizarre, it was on the Dick Cavett Show, I think in 77, where he and Bing Crosby do this little scene. And like the premise of the scene is Bing Crosby is staying at a relative's house who is a lord in England. And David Bowie stops by because the Lord lets him play the piano when he's not at home, as if David Bowie doesn't have a piano in his own house.
That's and he that walks, little thing is so
he
strange.
He walks in and they act like they don't know each other. And he's like, oh, I'm David Bowie. And he's like, oh, you can call me Bing. And then they go over to the piano. They start talking about Christmas. And then they end up singing The Little Drummer Boy together over the piano. And it's great. I mean, it's amazing. It's fucking the two of them. It's great.
But it's not as good as Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
And then, Will
they
Ferrell and John C. Reilly.
That, dude.
They completely reenact it line for line,
word for word,
deliver it as close as they can. But then there'll just be John C. Reilly will just do a pause after the cheesiest line, just and like kind of a half a look
so
at the camera.
Crack.
That's just like, that was that bad. But then they sing Little Drummer Boy. Holy fucking shit.
Amazingly.
Dude. Amazing.
They did
I have a link to both of them in the show notes.
Can
Google them.
I watched the I had seen part of it in the
although
documentary.
The end is slightly
changed
different.
That part.
Well,
yeah,
I won't ruin it, but the end is slightly but,
different. Will Ferrell streaks naked through the crowd.
Not far from it.
I saw some of that Bing Crosby thing in some of the documentary stuff they showed. I was like, that's rough. That's awkward. It's fucking awkward. But then I was like, man, was that word for word Asian sliding down the chimney? Like, did they really say that? So then I went and watched the whole thing and I was like, no, they really fucking say that shit. Like, he's like, oh, just trying to see if you're listening. Yeah.
I think he says agents.
No, he says Asians for sure. Like ninjas, bro. I'm pretty sure.
I think it's agents.
Why? Because they're like British?
Talking shit about like, you can't get away from your agents and your management. And
That makes more like sense.
Asians
lines up with my mom.
Yeah. I mean, the timing.
I mean, they're always a great height. You know what I mean? Like in a tree, they're the right height for a chimney. If they just lean over on the palm tree, if the wind
was blowing too, like,
they could drop down.
Yeah. And if you do go watch the Will Ferrell thing,
you will go watch it. I'm telling you to watch it.
It is completely worth the investment to first spend the 4 minutes and 30 seconds watching the original one in its entirety. Because then their spoof of it is even better if you're familiar.
Which is funny because like they don't really make any until the end. There's not any cracks. You know what I mean? It's like they just did it line for line and then just sang
so
it.
Good.
But they did such a good job. They have really good singing voices.
Oh, they're
actually
amazing.
Yeah. It was well done.
So final thing before we get into the timeline is his sexuality. In 1972, he came out as being gay in an interview. But in later interviews in 1983 with Rolling Stone, he said he made that up and he said he's a closet heterosexual. And then in an interview after that, he said that he's a bisexual. And then at times after that, he said that his sexuality is impossible to pin down. So I think the androgyny, I think the makeup and I think the sleek lines and the hair and all that stuff that he did, I don't think it was just marketing and a put on.
I think how he felt.
I think there was a part of him that really felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Looking, you know, in those clothes. And I got to admit, like, he shows up sometimes in makeup and I'm like, you are beautiful. You are a beautiful being. Like, you just
he looks alien-ish
that
to me.
He does.
Like, he looks like an
there's
alien.
There's a strange to it. Yeah.
Like, the, like, if you're picturing, like, a sweet alien.
And was
you know
he
what I mean?
Tall?
Like that. Like,
because I saw multiple pictures of him, like, with fans and stuff around him. And he was, like, a full head taller than them. And I kept thinking, like, are these just little girls that he's around, or is he looks fucking tall?
He looks like a woman there. Like, he really does.
For sure, yeah. Very Eurythmics. Thing. Like, that's 100%. Yeah. I would fully think that was Annie Lennox before I would think that was David Bowie, you know?
Nah, he's 5'10".
Okay.
Short as fuck.
Oh, thanks. I only feel short by you guys. Like, most of the time I'm walking around the world.
That's because that's like a normal, like, I think 5'10 is like totally the average height.
Comfortable height, yeah.
I wonder what the average height is in the United States, anyway.
I think it's 5'10".
It might be. Right. So in his ute, he was born in South London, January 8th, 1947. He attended Burnt Ash Junior High.
5'9".
Yeah. Wow, you're above average.
Burnt Ash.
Yeah.
Say Burnt Ash again. Why?
Burnt Ash Junior School.
Oh, well, that's the name of it.
What the fuck?
Sounds like your shins.
Maybe it doesn't. Maybe it doesn't translate. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it's some shit.
Yeah, it doesn't like translate the bee's from knees. English to English. Yeah.
Bee's knees.
Yeah. There's some shit definitely burnt that's ash. Like British to English, you know?
That's true.
Well, it's like, it's the area. Probably like it was a town that got burnt down, you know? Maybe. Now it's called Burnt Ash.
Like some witches got burned at the stake.
Yeah, right. Well, that could be too.
So in 1953, his father...
I miss those days.
The witch burning days.
Yeah, witch burning days, you know?
His father brought home a collection of American 45 albums from the Platters, Fats Domino, Elvis, who has the same birthday as David Bowie.
I had a Platter CD.
Little Richard. And he said upon listening to Little Richard sing Tutti Frutti that he had, quote, heard God.
Look at the influence of fucking him, though. Like Little Richard, for sure. Like the makeup shit. Yeah. Like
for sure.
Little Richard was a white dude.
Yeah.
Which he wasn't far from it. But if you look at that makeup and you just put it on David Bowie, it's super close.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I saw in an interview, and he said he wanted to grow up to be Little Richard.
Because even when he leaves his glam era, when David Bowie does, he goes through this chunk for like a very long time where he would wear riffs on like 50s suits,
right,
that all look like Little Richard suits. So I think that did have a big impact on him.
That's cool. I was trying to see if there was an about like the history of like Burnt Ash.
So by 1957 he had learned the guitar, the ukulele, the T-chest bass. He started playing skiffle with his friends, which I guess is a type of British music. He learned the piano. A friend of his introduced him to modern jazz, like Charlie Mingus and John Coltrane. And then his mom got him a saxophone in 1961, so he fully learned how to play the saxophone. So this motherfucker could play all kinds of shit,
right?
Even the skin flute. When he was young, he happened to be friends with Peter Frampton and Elton John.
That kind of shit, when we've covered that in the past, that happens so much where it's like, oh yeah, those three famous people hung out.
Right.
I feel like it's like, oh, if you went to high school and one person ended up being famous, not that like three motherfuckers were superstars.
Right.
You know, and that's are huge stars.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking weird.
So it looks like Burnt Ash is like a small subset of just a place, Bromley.
I saw Bromley. Yeah,
it's just like a Burnt Ash Lane. Okay. There's primary school. There's junior high. There's Burnt Ash Library. Gotcha.
Maybe so at some point a forest burned down, and when they first reestablished a community there, it was all fucked up.
Yeah, right next to that's Bernice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Bernice.
So, yeah, Burnt Knees. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Burnt Ash, and then Burnt Knees.
So this
Burnt
was
Reynolds.
Something that Burnt I thought Reynolds. Was very funny. In 1964, when he was 17 years old,
Burt Kreischer.
Is Burt Reynolds alive? I'm sorry, Dave. I know you're talking.
I don't know.
Yeah, Burt Reynolds.
If he dies in a fire, it's going to be great jokes.
Oh, wow.
It could be Burt Reynolds.
Burt Reynolds.
Like the jokes, it's like too soon if he's still alive.
Yeah.
I got to find out.
No, he did die.
Did he?
No, but he will at some point. He will.
I'm going to find out if he's alive.
Burt, I'm waiting.
Why? Don't wait. You got to fill the gap. Kind of silent talk.
Died.
Was in America.
2018, he did die.
Oh, not too long ago.
Damn it. How did he die?
I hope it was on fire, but I hope he didn't suffer. I just like smoke inhalation or something, so he didn't suffer, but we could still make the joke.
I think the smoke inhalation would still be suffering.
He was Smokey and the Bandit, but he was the Bandit.
Yeah, he was the Bandit.
Yeah.
Jackie Gleason was Smokey.
Now we can watch Jackie Gleason while we eat.
That was a great movie.
What's that movie?
Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh, I know. What movie did I just quote?
I have no idea.
That was Back to the Future.
Heart Attack.
Heart attack?
Yeah, his heart probably burned out.
Yeah, probably.
So, 17 years old, he forms the Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Long-Haired Men. That's right.
I saw an interview with him talking about that. He was serious as fuck.
He was serious as
fuck. He's getting teased, I guess. You know, look at Maddox. Like, that's what's happening. Like, if Brad walks by and asks what she said, like, Brad's constantly giving Maddox shit.
You, I know that, like, in America,
even if guys, he has short hair, it's
like, back in the 60s, in America, you've got long hair, you're a dirty hippie, you've got a certain stigma attached to you, whatever.
Yeah.
I can't imagine in straight lace 1960s fucking small town England.
Yeah.
Like, he probably just got his ass whooped on the daily because he wanted to grow long hair. And right. then, again,
yeah, long the hair thing and the is, kid making fun of him had fucking rabbit teeth.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
And
the thing that's fucked up about it is it's like, if he's like gender fluid and he's just more comfortable with long hair, it's like he's getting his ass whooped.
Or maybe
whooped,
he was poor and just can't get a fucking haircut.
No, he wanted long hair. Like, that was part of the scene he wanted to do and the music he was playing. And
well, they weren't wrong. He turned weird.
He was weird from the fucking beginning.
Yeah, exactly.
So his brother named Terry Burns, because his name is actually David Burns, right?
No.
David.
Not David.
Bones.
You fucked my brain up. Davy Jones.
David Jones. Robert Jones.
Yeah, because it was the Monkees.
Because he changed his name. Davy Jones was the lead singer of the Monkees, so he had to change his name, and he changed it to Bowie.
And the Locker. Let's not forget Davy Jones' Locker.
Because of, what's his name?
The Bowie, the knife guy.
The Jim Bowie? It's in my notes. Somewhere.
Boeing. We make airplanes.
No, Bowie, like Bowie the knives. American frontiersman.
Oh, yeah, like, Bowie. Yeah.
I can't think of
anyway, I can't. It doesn't matter.
First name's L.L. Bean Bowie.
But his brother, Terry Burns, suffered from really intense mental illness. He was in and out of mental institutions his entire life. He was 10 years older than Bowie. He was schizophrenic. He would have seizures. He was, again, he was the older brother, and he loved David, and he would like read poetry with him and like taught him like deep philosophy and, would listen to jazz with him, taught him Buddhism, taught him about the occult, like all this eclectic shit. Like, he was teaching young David Bowie,
part of it was his paranoia.
Yeah.
Just fucking like feeding
maybe James Bowie.
James Bowie.
The Alamo, but in 1838, Rezin P. Bowie. I don't recognize that name, though, but that's Bowie.
Oh, Rez P.
But it was, yeah, I saw, they showed a picture of the guy in the documentary and said,
Jim Bowie, yeah, 19th century pioneer.
Yeah, he saw him and named himself after that.
Oh, Jimbo, do they call them.
Because he liked the Bowie knife,
yeah.
Which was why he did it. So, but extended family members of his, like aunts and uncles, had schizophrenia. His aunt was institutionalized.
That's scary, man.
One of his aunts had a lobotomy because she was so bad. So a lot of ideas of mental insanity and being unsure of yourself, a lot of that is in his early lyrics.
Yeah.
That has a big impact on him. His brother, years later, obviously, but in 1985, he killed himself, and he ended up writing a song called Jump, They Say, which is about his brother killing himself. So that was a big impact with him. And once I read that about the mental instability, like once we start getting into some of his obsessions and these characters that he's putting on, you start to see it. It's like, it was present in David as well, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I was really thinking was, is that part of that, you know,
oh, I'm
he
sure,
just had
man.
A, he had a handle on it though. Yeah. Like he could.
Yeah. It wasn't as bad.
He had an outlet.
It wasn't as bad. He had an outlet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause think about it. Totally. He had a theatrical outlet. Like for a normal person that's just fucking working a 9-to-5 in an office, you can't show up as Ziggy Stardust and be like, hey, anybody need some copies?
No.
And you're just like over there all fucking like disco.
I mean you could, but
you could, but
not,
like,
it's not gonna work
society's
out.
Society's not okay with it. If you get on stage and start singing into a mic and you're wearing that shit, you're just a fucking rock star.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's able to act it out and it's accepted. So I wonder how well that would work if like you just, if people that have those type of sicknesses, like if you could somehow like utilize it where it's like, oh,
well, they
it's a functional thing in this environment.
Well, they also have to have that drive to go do that stuff.
You gotta
too.
Have
like,
that
it's
art
not,
in you.
Yeah.
And like you said, I mean, the key word there is function.
Yeah.
I mean, you might have it so bad that you're just not functional.
It served him. Yeah. Like he was able to do it. So that's a trip.
I think on any level, like a lot of musicians or actors have some sort of personality disposition. You know what I mean? Like they don't have their own personality. They just take on whatever they get into. And I think musicians are kind of the same way. Like they get into, whatever act or whatever thing they have, and not all of them. Like, well, you know what I mean? You see,
we've
some
talked
that
about
are,
it before. It's like the mascot complex, where it's like you could go do the fucking Running Man in front of the whole hockey game if you're wearing a fucking bird suit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But you probably wouldn't do it if you weren't.
Yeah.
For most people, But you get this extra confidence when you're like, well, it's not me. If they think I'm stupid, it's okay. I meant to be stupid. I'm wearing this outfit.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I meant to do. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have the repercussion of the judgment,
right?
Because you can just roll either way. If it goes great. Great. I meant to do that. If it goes bad, that's fine. I was being silly anyway. Don't take me serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the mascot.
Yeah. You know?
So in 1962,
it's like drinking. People do that when they're drunk.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I was drinking. It wasn't me. It was the alcohol. Right. No, motherfucker. It was you.
It was you, bitch.
You.
In 1962, his friend George Underwood got in a fight with him about a girl and socked him right in the left eye and fucked him up. So
like
he had
real
to go
bad, like
really bad.
He went,
he was in the hospital for 4 months. He underwent multiple surgeries.
Well, that cheekbone was like pronounced out there. So that was like an easy target, you know?
And he ended up with
multiple surgeries.
Yeah. Jesus faulty Christ. Depth perception.
He hit him with something. He didn't just punch him.
Mm,
he fucking hit him with something. And then he was a buddy and just said he punched
me. Yeah, he punched me.
He fucking hit him with a bat or something. I bet you.
He ended up with anascoria, which is a permanently dilated pupil, which gives the false impression of a different color of the iris.
Unless he just had soft bones, of course.
I mean, I don't know if his orbital socket was broke. It might have like detached like nerves on the back of his eye or something weird, you know?
Maybe, yeah.
You know, a swelling happened that that cut off circulation to a nerve that controls the dilation, and then that nerve just died.
Well, maybe.
The trip. I wonder.
Maybe
what,
he could have just had eye surgeries. Yeah, not. Like
I wonder what he sees, because when your eye dilates like that, I don't know that when you do mushrooms, allegedly your eyes fucking look crazy like that.
Huh. Yeah.
Like Trent looked in the mirror.
Well, that's
and
why
was
you
like,
see colors
what
crazier.
The fuck? Yeah, you could see. I mean, yeah, it's like long exposure, probably.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So maybe colors are more vibrant to him, but your depth
and
perception
just one
would
eye.
Be fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you still have another good eye that you would look at for depth.
He just enjoys art by blinking, like winking. Yeah. He just closes one eye. He's like, oh, nice. Nice.
Wow, sparkly.
Although in one phase he did wear an eye patch.
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
This fucking space pirate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he goes through multiple bands. He starts to get into
Ziggy
music.
Ziggy Smalls, his hip-hop album?
Yeah. He's in multiple groups. I'm not going to try to list them all because they just fucking kept popping up. I think he was trying to, you know, I think nobody was good enough for him. Like, nothing really said that, but I feel like he would get in a band.
At a point, too, you might start something and then realize that's not it.
And I think that was it. Far better than everyone that he was playing with.
Yeah.
So he'd probably join a band and be like, these guys fucking suck.
Yeah.
And then go to another one. But I think he was also switching from sound to sound. And at
it
times,
didn't feel right. You know
at
what
times
I mean?
Like, he was like, he had one band where all he wanted to do was covers of Howlin' Wolf and Muddy Waters.
Yeah.
I don't know that he would think everyone sucked. He was probably around great musicians. I think stylistically, he was just so like ahead of his time, which would be so different. It'd be like if you showed up to jujitsu class as a black belt in karate and tried to roll, it'd be like, this is weird. You don't know anything. You know what I mean? But like you're a master of a martial art and the other guy's a master of a martial art, but together it's weird and you just don't jive because it's totally two different styles.
See, I disagree.
He's just so experimental.
I think we're looking at one of the greatest of all time next to some dipshit that plays drums every so often in his mom's garage.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if he came into
just
it.
Well, just because he made it and became that doesn't mean that some of the musicians he played with were dumpy. You know what I mean? Like
Elton John.
Like,
when he's little,
I feel like there's musicians that will never make it that are better than anybody out or
for
has ever been. They just didn't have that drive or the break,
the chemistry,
or whatever
you can't tell me that a whole lot of motherfuckers in the Conrads and the King Bees and the lower third weren't just shitty musicians.
You never know. They might not make it because their marketing tactics and their names. You know what I mean? Like fucking, they didn't have that. You know, fucking oomph or whatever to get
I'm going
them
on the record and I can't prove it until I get my musical time machine. At least four of those motherfuckers just fucking sucked.
I mean, I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm not saying you're wrong, but
and
I'm not
four
saying
four of them
it's a
were fucking
thing.
Amazing.
Yeah, they could have been.
Should have been like in, you know, in the Who or something, but they just never got a break.
Yeah. They could have formed the Eagles later, though. Did you read
that?
You didn't. You didn't study them. See?
I didn't.
Yeah, where the drummer sings fucking Hotel California. Get the fuck out of here.
So he, ends up going out on his own and he releases a solo album that's pretty unsuccessful. And then he goes,
see, he
like
wasn't
you
that
do,
good.
When the music, the album didn't hit, he decided to live at a Buddhist monastery in Scotland And then he started a mime troupe.
Yeah, that was weird, man.
Feathers.
Yeah.
A what?
A mime troupe.
He literally was in
a mime troupe.
Yeah. He just did like expressive, like fucking hype dance weird shit. Like while someone else played and sang, he was just up there like, and this guy was like, I went and saw him when he was in the Feathers at this fucking experimental psychedelic club called Middle Earth. I was like, wow, that fucking must have been.
That's why I want the time machine.
Well, and you were on drugs.
Think about going to a club.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking Jesus.
Everyone's on acid. You're at a club called Middle Earth, and there's a fucking mime group called the Feathers that's performing a music, and David Bowie is one of them, but he ain't singing. He's just fucking miming off to the side.
Right.
What a wild thing to witness.
It has nothing to do with the top. I watched an interview with Viggo Mortensen.
God, he's a genius. I didn't realize that. That guy's so he should do a thing on him.
He's so
good. Speaks like fucking 8 languages or 9 languages. He speaks fucking Arabic. He speaks all kinds. Did you know that?
Eastern Promises.
I don't know if I've seen that.
Brad, have you seen Eastern Promises? Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
I'll watch it tonight, bro.
I don't think you'll like it.
No? What's it about?
I think you're going to...
like him, though.
I think an hour into it, you're going to think it's far too violent.
Oh, it's like... is it gory?
It's one of the most violent movies I can remember seeing. It is hard fucking core. He plays it?
It has everything
to do with the Russian mob.
What is it?
Eastern Promises.
Like he's a hitman?
I can't really say. I don't want to say anything. It's a fucking great
movie.
I like him, though, man. It's amazing.
Did you know he spoke like 7 languages though?
Yeah.
Fuck, and you watch him do interviews and it is perfect, dude.
But he told his story that the reason he got into acting was his friend in college was in a play and one of the guys in the play couldn't do it because he was really sick. So they talked to Viggo Mortensen and they were like, can you stand in tonight? And he was like, I don't know what to do. He was like, you have no lines. You just sit in this chair and you read a book and look at a candle and you're just in the background for the whole play reading a book and looking at a candle.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I can do that.
He won an Oscar for that.
So before he went on, he fucking took LSD.
Oh, wow.
And he went and sat on
stage. He's like, that sounds boring. I'm going to fucking spice it up.
Balls, looking at his book and staring at this candle while this fake world was existing around him. And then when he finally snapped out of it, he was in a public bathroom, like covered in his own vomit, holding a magazine with a picture of Meryl Streep on the cover that he'd been staring at for an hour. And he realized, I need to be an actor.
I wonder how the show went, though. You think he made it through the show and then ended up in the bathroom?
He made it through the show. And then they went out drinking. And
he's an intelligent man. That guy's fucking...
he's great.
He's a badass.
Eastern Promises. If you haven't seen it, highly recommend the movie. But in 1969, he releases Space Oddity with Mercury Records, and it was just a slam dunk. So he watched Stanley Kubrick's 2001: A Space Odyssey, which I always forget came out before people were in space.
Yeah, man.
But it so fucking predicts the way everything has to look and function.
That's why they think he fucking helped with the moon landing shit, man. Like,
it's so good. But that was all Arthur C. Clarke, though. That was his vision. Like that, he was a rocket scientist, mm-hmm. and he was the one who informed how the ships were going to go. But anyway, maybe that's why I thought of it, because right here, he went and saw 2001, and he was stoned out of his mind. Which is not a good idea. That is not a movie you want to watch stoned out of your mind. And when he got done with it, he wrote Space Oddity, which didn't go well at first, actually.
It was like whatever for a second, but then BBC used it for the moon landing and shit.
Because like a couple weeks later, they did the Apollo 11 launch.
Yeah, and the BBC used it in their broadcast.
Yeah.
Which is perfect because people are like, oh my God, we just landed on the fucking moon.
Exactly.
Allegedly.
Right.
And then the song, that's perfect song like for that.
And I didn't know it was called Space Oddity. I always thought it was called Ground Control. That would have been.
Yeah.
So when I saw everybody, like all the articles were talking about how, you know, Space Oddity was this huge hit.
Well, his influence
like,
is Space Odyssey.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
But I was like, I don't think I even know what that fucking song is. And then when I played it, I was like, oh, this is Ground Control.
Yeah.
You know, such a great song.
Fuck yeah, it is, dude. It's like. It's one of those things where it makes you feel like, I don't know, like there's a lot of music in Forrest Gump like that, where you're like, It's like very like nostalgic, like emotionally moving, like the Vietnam fucking era thing where it happens.
Vietnam music was
and some
fucking,
of that song, those like you see a helicopter coming that and fucking iconic. Voodoo Child starts playing whatever, and you're like, that's the fucking song for that. Like that is so
the
perfect,
rising
man.
Sun.
You get like songs of the generation. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And that's one of those songs where it's just like fuck. It makes you like it emotionally moves you a little bit. You can't help it.
And I think that's the beginning of the brilliance of Bowie is he sees what's happening in the culture that's important and he writes songs that tap into those important things and in ways that most other artists don't do.
Did you see, I don't know if I saw it in your notes or not, but there was something about the way that he wrote that he did something called like cutout or something. Did you see that? It's and if I'm understanding it right, I think it's where you just cut out random words from like magazines and shit. And just start throwing, it's like brainstorming, like where it takes you to places you wouldn't have fucking gone. Like you could sit there and try to write shit and you're going to come up with something, but it's like you would cut something weird out, like oddity. And you'd be like, oh, oddity, that's not a word I would use. And like it makes you spin off to some tangent that you wouldn't have gone down because oddity made you think of, oh, it's weird. Next. And you 7 degrees later, you're talking about fucking Muppets.
Right.
You know? So I don't know. I thought that was kind of cool. I guess that a famous writer, some other famous writer,
Harry Mack style,
made that technique where, exactly. That's probably the same way he operates. You know, it's like, it's probably surprising himself when they make him rap about weird ass fucking
exactly.
shit.
Yeah.
And Space Oddity, by the way, was also the song that was playing on loop in the Tesla that Elon Musk launched into
That's
space.
Fucking awesome. So
he made that the song. So he ends up.
They got pictures of it in space.
It looks so fucking fake. Look it up. It looks so fake. I'm like, that's way too good of a picture. But I mean, my camera.
How
my
they get
phone
that?
Takes
Hold on a
second.
How can they get that? And they can't get the flags on the moon.
A 360 fucking cam that like a fucking squirrel suit guy uses is somehow filming his whole fucking body from 3 feet behind him. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
true.
And everything angle. Behind him too. Like those cameras are fucking crazy. I mean, if you have the technology to launch a fucking Tesla into space with a fucking astronaut dummy in a suit playing Space Oddity, you could take a fucking selfie too. You know what I mean? Just a little,
and you can take pictures of the flags on the moon.
A follower drone. Yeah, you should be able to take pictures of
the
flags on the moon.
Those are fucking generated as a motherfucker.
They're super Photoshop looking. They look so smooth and so perfect. I'm like,
oh no, they're not real.
Let me see. It's been a while since I saw it, but it looks like so fake. You seen those pictures, yeah?
Hold on. Yeah.
Let me find one.
He's not going to show me.
Like that. Like.
Yeah, like no way you caught that shot where it's in front of the Earth like that. Is that one supposed to be real?
That's fucking, I don't know.
Or the one where they caught the picture a while back where like, look at the moon as it passed just between us and the fucking
that
Earth.
One,
and you're like, fucking, that is
these
fake.
Camera angles coming from?
No way. Well, he's got a camera mounted
a shitload of cameras mounted to it.
But in that photo, you
I
don't
mean,
see
that should have been on the cover of Time magazine, was it not?
I don't know.
Like a Tesla floating with an astronaut playing Space Odyssey in front of the Earth? That's wild.
So he meets an American woman named Angela Barnett. They get married. They have a couple of kids. There's a rift within his management because she starts to become kind of a shot caller. The man, his manager, gets pissed off because he's doing what she says, not what he says. He starts to, like, some of the articles that I read said that he went through a phase where he was starting to feel kind of lonely because he was a solo act. And he would, you know, and you see pictures of him and he's fucking hanging out with fucking the Rolling Stones and whatever. And he's just like, I wish I had that. Like, I wish I was on the road with the guys.
Right.
You know. So he tried to form a band. And it was called The Hype.
Oh,
no, this is before that. So a band called The Hype that would tour with him permanently. And they, again, this is ahead of what he was doing, but he told them all to come up with a character and a persona and then to dress in that, which again is really what Prince did. It was like his keyboardist was Dr. Fink and it was like everybody had a costume and a persona and a character.
What
year
was
playing.
That? Maybe he's playing off.
That was in the '80s. Like he was fully playing off of this, but this is the kind of stuff that, that Bowie was doing. And they had elaborate costumes that were kind of a sneak peek of what was ultimately going to happen with the Spiders from Mars, which were his band for Ziggy Stardust, but it was a disaster. Like the concerts fucking sucked. They didn't help, and he ends up saying, "I guess I'm a solo artist." And at one point, when he was interviewing people and having them come and play, at one point he yelled at one of the members of the Hype and said, "You're fucking up my album," because like he wasn't drumming the way Bowie wanted him to be drumming.
They said to that point, like that a lot of his shit ended up just being him overdubbed of like, I'll just do that part. I guess I'll just fucking do that part. You know, right. I found the guy, William Burroughs. Do you know who that is? It's a writer. It's called the cut up
William
method.
S. Burroughs, yeah.
William S. Burroughs used the cut up method. So that's where he got the idea and the style from.
That makes sense with Burroughs. He wrote some crazy shit.
And that's how he did it. Look at that real quick since I've got you stopped.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, man, not everybody ages well.
So he releases some other albums. I mean, there's a fucking shitload of them. One in 1970 has a song called All the Mad Men, which is about his brother being in the institutions. There's a lot that's skippable, I think. He ends up evolving into Ziggy Stardust. So, and again, I think this is the thing that I love about Bowie, and we've talked about this with multiple artists. Most people are worried because it's like, I have to keep playing my old stuff, but I need to evolve and do new stuff, and you've got to walk the razor's edge of, I'm still doing what I used to do and keeping all of my fan base happy, but I'm still pushing and growing as an artist to keep my fan base happy. If I stay the same, they're going to talk shit.
Which is weird. Like, you know, think if you loved like someone, and it's like they died. Like Ziggy Stardust is no more. Like you might be like hardcore. I got this fucking weird ass hair. I'm all about this fucking Ziggy Stardust. And then it's just like, that is no more. You know what I mean? Other than the album that existed as he was in that persona.
Right.
We switched a new character. Like he's still there.
Yeah.
He just quit. He's just not doing that anymore.
That's what I love about him.
Yeah, it's wild. Because
he would just
though,
be like, this is what my album sounds like. This is what my fans are used to. Next album, nothing like that.
It's like The Walking
nothing
Dead.
Nothing at all.
Killing the main star.
Exactly.
He's it's like, top just, of the game, they did quitting do that. That one. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Fucking, yeah, that's why.
Yeah. Game of Thrones, too. I'm just going to totally fucking do some new shit. So all of a sudden, instead of just kind of rock and, you know, pop and whatever, he turns into Ziggy Stardust. So Ziggy Stardust, and this is fucking great. To me, this is genius. So Ziggy Stardust is a doomed rock star who is too caught up in his self-image and his elaborate costumes, and he ends up having a crash and burn because of his ego and his nature and all this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, how much that truth was, is in that? How much is he
projecting?
That
was like,
you know,
before I'm putting pen to paper, this is who's writing this album. This is who's performing this album. It's not David Bowie. This is Ziggy Stardust. So he embodies this character to write the music, to perform it on stage.
Garth Brooks tries to do it and we just fucking attack him. You know,
but he
mean?
Creates fucking Ziggy Stardust. Yeah. So,
Snoop Dogg, Snoop Lion.
Yeah, exactly.
It happens. I mean, people do it, you know.
So in 72, he releases The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
My brother wanted us to call him Logan. Nobody went with it.
No.
Logan's a bad name. Like, unless you're Wolverine.
We were just the only pass.
Yeah, Wolverine's got a pass.
We were just like fucking,
yeah.
So it just blows up. It literally, like, every article that I read was like, this changed music.
Yeah.
Like him being Ziggy Stardust, it was the end of
Ziggy Stardust.
Stardust.
That's fucking weird.
It was the straight up, it was like the, one of them said it was like the punctuation point at the end of the Woodstock era. Like, this is like all the 60s shit is done. All the hippie stuff is done.
There's some new shit.
This is some new shit. Glam, rock, over the top, fucking
dude, those outfits, those crazy ass black and white pants. You saw those ones that are like fucking 5 feet wide, like,
yeah, his outfits are unbelievable. The makeup, that lightning bolt on his face, one where he has that silver disc on his head.
I come from the Buddhist shit, probably.
Great outfits. And he said, off stage, I'm a robot. On stage, I achieve motion. It's probably why I prefer dressing up as Ziggy to being David. So he's like fully doing it. And then at one point he said, Ziggy wouldn't leave me alone for years. That was when it all started to go sour. My whole personality was affected. It became very dangerous. I really did have doubts about my sanity.
Yeah,
because he started to become Ziggy Stardust.
Well, that and fucking Ziggy Stardust was probably talking to him. Like, he probably was schizophrenic.
And Ziggy Stardust was doomed to fail.
Right? Yeah.
And now that's who you're...
You're becoming.
Yeah, you're becoming that thing.
Yeah, he's like living in that character.
And as soon as I saw that again, like I thought, which I don't think is the a coincidence,
mental illness. Yeah.
Like I thought of Nine Inch Nails, because Trent Reznor has done albums that are like a premise. There's like, he did an album that was, the premise was there were aliens that were about to invade the Earth, and there was like a holy crusade on the planet where these wars were fighting, and he wrote all of the songs in that world.
Yeah, and I mean that happens a lot. Like there's a lot of, and I think like Nine Inch Nails, Trent Reznor, like is more of theatrical music.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like it's music, but it's a movie. Like yes. When you hear the sounds,
right,
you can picture,
and his albums are a story. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like this is in a world and where a thing
is
happening.
And I don't even like, I don't like Nine Inch Nails. I don't like the music. I appreciate Trent Reznor and I understand what he does.
Right.
And I respect it. I don't necessarily like the music.
Sure.
But that style of music, like that, like you said, it is story music. Like he wouldn't even have to say anything. And by the way the instruments are played and placed and everything is done,
you feel that world.
Yes. Yeah. You're in a, it puts you somewhere.
Yeah.
And your own brain dictates what that is, but it does something to
right,
you. So,
right.
Yeah. So Bowie writing in that manner, I think that's kind of normal. A lot of artists do that. You know, like there's look at Outkast, Atlians.
Sure.
Like they were aliens. They were from outer space. They were, you know what I mean? Cause they were different. You know, and they were writing in that and aspect.
Same thing with Funkadelic.
Yeah, that like they're writing in that aspect. And
Bowie
and
might have got that from Funkadelic.
Yeah,
because Funkadelic,
I think he took it
was
from Outkast,
outer space,
actually.
But that was Outkast would have been a lot later,
I know,
though.
It's a joke.
Oh, sorry. I was like trying to track it.
You're way too deep into this. Yeah,
that
yeah,
was
way
Billy Idol, bro.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. You're right.
Yeah.
So. Right when everybody's loving Ziggy Stardust, he's like literally selling out the biggest fucking stadiums in the world, number one album in every fucking country. And then he's like, okay, no more Ziggy Stardust. Got that out of my system.
He's doomed to fail.
Yeah, he's like, doomed to fail. Exactly.
I'm going to fail it. Yeah.
And then he basically helps launch the career of Lou Reed and Iggy Pop, which I didn't know. Like
those
are two
either.
Huge motherfuckers. Yeah. He produced them and helped launch what they did. He in 73 he got rid of the he disbanded the band the Spiders. He got rid of Ziggy Stardust, and then apparently he did something similar, and I don't know what the shtick was, but he created a character named Aladdin Sane, and the album was named Aladdin Sane, and it was the same kind of a thing that happened. He moved to LA. First he moved to New York. And he released Diamond Dogs, which again, so this is in 74. Diamond Dogs is an album, and I have to listen to this album now. I haven't listened to it, but I'm going to. He read 1984, which is one of my favorite books that I've ever read, most impactful books I've ever read. He read 1984, and he wanted to make an album set in a post-apocalyptic city that was similar to George Orwell's 1984.
Yeah.
And it has a track called 1984 on the album. There's a track called Big Brother.
Yeah.
And, but he sets this album in a post-apocalyptic 1984 city and records an album, which is just fucking badass. But watch it suck and I'll be disappointed. but he does this world building, so he blows up, he does more. I mean, I'm just skipping album after album. He did the song Fame, which I fucking love that song.
Yeah. I used that for a social media post for the Farmer's Market a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Such a good song.
What song is that?
Fame. It's got that funky ass fucking like guitar
riff.
Yeah.
I didn't know he co-wrote it with John Lennon.
Yeah. Like a lot of the songs, like I know, cause you've heard them.
Yeah,
I just don't know the name of them.
Exactly.
Like,
that's why I listened. I like pulled up a list of like the top Bowie songs and I just went through and listened to all of them.
Yeah.
And there were several that I honestly don't remember having heard before. And I just
I'm sure
skipped those.
He has a ton of songs.
Oh, fuck.
I mean, yeah.
And it's also, there were a lot of songs that were huge in the world that were lower on the charts in America. So we chart differently. Yeah. So a lot of this stuff that was like top 15, it's like, I never heard those five because they probably aren't on rotation in classic rock stations in America, you know, but they would be in England.
They weren't number one hits or whatever. Right, yeah. Right.
So he does The Man Who Fell to Earth in 1976, which I'm really curious. I guess Showtime just remade The Man Who Fell to Earth, and I can never remember the actor's name. But the main actor is fucking amazing. I think it's probably going to be an awesome series. I'm eager to see it.
It's a show.
Yeah, it's a show on Showtime.
Fell to Earth Showtime.
It's like Jwanjani Fire, or I can never fucking pronounce
Joaquin
his
Phoenix.
Name. But
he hasn't fell to Earth yet. That's why you can't find him.
Yeah, that's right. He plays.
I've never had that happen. When I search that, it just opens my Hulu app, which I'm not signed into on my phone.
He plays.
It doesn't even Google it though. It just opens Hulu when I say that.
He plays Baron Mordo on Doctor Strange.
Hmm.
That's the.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Yes. That's the name. The name I will
know. I know the guy. Yeah,
he's great. He's amazing.
Chiwetel. Yeah. I don't know how you'd pronounce that.
I don't either. He's an amazing actor, though. I think he's going to be great in that show. But he did the Elephant Man in 1980. He was the Goblin King in 1986 in Labyrinth with Jim Henson and George Lucas. He then releases an album that gets him in a little bit of trouble from a character called the Thin White Duke. And the pictures I see of the Thin White Duke are always, it looks like a member of the Rat Pack with like blonde slick back hair. It's like an exaggerated 1950s, almost a zoot suit looking thing. And it's always got the tie untied. Like you never see the bow tie actually tied. None of the photos I saw did, but, through 1975 and 1976, it was in the album Station to Station. He did a couple of tours. He said it was somewhat based on the character he played in The Man Who Fell to Earth. So again, he got that character in his head and he was stuck being that character. So he was at one point, he was arriving to Victoria Station in a convertible open top Mercedes Benz. And when he waved to the crowd, some people say he wasn't waving to the crowd. He was giving them a Nazi salute as the Thin White Duke. And he insisted that the camera just caught him in mid wave, and I couldn't find examples of
mid Nazi salute. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But apparently he like in character, because he would never not be in characters. If you were going to interview David Bowie about this music, you're not interviewing David Bowie. He's not there.
He's the Thin White Man.
Exactly. So the Thin White Duke would say like pro-fascist stuff.
So of course he did. If he was pro-fascist shit, he was doing the fucking Nazi fucking
Heil
Hitler.
They interviewed him and he said he was doing in that time, he was doing a quote astronomical amount of cocaine was one thing.
Well, I
that
thought
he
I wasn't.
Said.
Nazi at that
well,
point.
That's what the white man was. Exactly. Or Thin White Duke.
Thin
like,
White Duke.
Yeah. Think about it. The Thin White Duke, the fucking
that
thin
be,
line.
That
fucking,
exactly,
that's fucking
dude.
Cocaine, dude.
That should be, right, dude. That should be slang for cocaine.
You're
yeah.
right. You're completely right.
And it's the ruler.
Yeah.
Like he's fucking, like he's fucking, it is fucking, yeah, fast white girl.
And he had
Thin White Duke.
He gave a quote. He said, I'm Perot. And Perot is a clown.
Ross Perot.
From like classic, like Commedia dell'arte plays. It was like this exaggerated clown. Like the sad clown.
Like John Wayne Gacy.
Like is basically, you know, the idea of like the crying clown, like that was Perot.
Oh, those the creepy porcelain fucking clown bums. Like,
so he says when they were asking him about him being a Nazi and being the Thin White Duke, he said, I'm Poirot. I'm every man. What I'm doing is theater and only theater. What you see on stage isn't sinister. It's pure clown. I'm using myself as a canvas and trying to paint the truth of our time on it. The white face, the baggy pants, they're Poirot, the eternal clown, putting over the great sadness.
Mm. I would just like to add the UrbanDictionary.com, Thin White Duke, a slang word for a line of cocaine.
All right.
Yeah, it is
that makes perfect sense. So, but I thought that quote just got to the heart of David Bowie. Like I'm becoming a character and I'm on stage using it as a canvas to talk about what's happening at the time. The fucking space race, the how important fame is to the world, like all this stuff he's touching on in his music, and he's embodying it.
Well, and that's like, was that the time of like the Cold War stuff going on? Probably. Sure. So Russians and fascism and all that stuff. Yep. Yeah.
And then I didn't get into it, but apparently there's like this whole deep dive of fans that even though he says that the Thin White Duke was gone after that album, they think that he survived into albums called the Berlin Trilogy, and that he finally killed him off in an album called Lodger. And that even though he was saying the Thin White Duke is gone, they're like, still, no, this is, it's kind of like Slim Shady and Eminem.
Yeah.
It's like, no, this is Eminem and this song is Slim Shady. So they're like, no, the Thin White Duke was still here on this song and this song and this song. So that's interesting. I'm not a deep enough Bowie head to know why they think that, but they do think that. At about this point, one of his biographers, a guy named David Buckley, who wrote Strange Fascination, David Bowie, The Definitive Story, said that in 1975, Bowie was living in a cocooned existence in Los Angeles, disconnected from the real world. He was apparently subsisting on a diet of peppers and milk and exhibited some truly strange behaviors, like keeping his urine in his refrigerator so that no other wizard could use it to enchant him.
That's my kind of crazy, man.
I mean, is that weird? Like, is that weird?
Peppers and milk. I want to know, like, what is he eating? Fucking pepperoncinis and milk?
The problem is that you're trying to figure out what a drug addict is.
No, I'm trying to figure out what the recipe milk for fucking wizard piss is.
No, I'm picturing like a nice piss, like a hearty sweet red bell pepper.
Oh, like those kind of peppers. Like fresh
I'm picturing
peppers.
Like fresh,
I feel like
fresh
it'd be spicy
pepper.
Peppers. I don't think he's just
eating
a variety
milk
of peppers.
He's British, man. I don't know. I don't think he's rocking the techo.
Oh, you're probably right.
He's got that British.
He can handle the heat.
He's got white girl mouth.
Yeah. Oh, he definitely had white girl mouth.
Yeah. So
that's what he said in the 70s, and he recanted later, and then went back to it.
Yeah. And then it was by white girl mouth.
Yeah. So then in the 80s come around, he busts out Let's Dance, 80s classic. Like that's just as Bowie as it gets. Modern Love. I fucking love Modern Love. China Girl. Great fucking 80s song, which apparently featured the guitar work of Stevie Ray Vaughan, which I didn't know. By 83, he was one of the, those of you who are too young to have experienced this, music in the 80s was 100% driven by MTV. If you didn't make good videos and you weren't in rotation on MTV, your album was not selling. End of fucking discussion.
Isn't that weird how that's kind of faded back away? You think that would stay, but like music videos are kind of like, they're there.
They're still there.
Of.
They're still part of the marketing,
but not like
it's all about YouTube and getting hits now. Yeah. You know, you're going to get hits on YouTube, and especially now, like if you just have it on YouTube and you have like YouTube Music, whether it's a video or whether it's the audio, you're still playing it as an audio in your car and he's getting a dollar off of the music video, you know.
Back in the day, you watched the video though. I mean, maybe people still do that and I just don't do that. I don't
know.
And
it wasn't just that you watched the video. It would be like Friday at 8, the new David Bowie video is dropping. And like everyone would be at the person's house who had cable
Friday at 8.
So that Friday at 8, everybody would say, shut up. And you'd be on MTV and you would watch the fucking video drop. And then they'd play it like 4 or 5 times in a row. And then Kurt Loder would come out and interview him and talk about it. Like that was the impact
Loder,
of a
damn
video, you know, it would totally be Kurt Loder. Yeah. Dude. At the 1984 MTV Video Music Awards, he received 2 awards, including the first ever Video Vanguard Award. So, again, he knew what finger to put to find the pulse. It was like, I have to be on MTV. I have to be making videos. And he leaned into that 80s sound. He could have still, but you know, if you listen to the Stones or something in the 80s, they still kind of sound like the Stones.
Yeah.
He leans into 80s instruments and synthesizers and that pop, but he kind of was the birth of it.
Yeah.
Like that, the look of the 80s was his look that he wasn't using anymore, you know, but he was just so impactful. Like he drove that generation.
You know, none of those fucking documentaries talked about his Labyrinth stuff at all. I feel like that's super important. Well, it's important to me, I guess. Like, but no,
I think
one,
it's important to a lot of people.
Yeah. Like that's where it's some people classic. May know him from that. Because exactly. I mean, like you said, you were a kid of the '80s. Like that's where you may have mm-hmm. even been introduced. Like, oh, that guy sings too.
And I remember like, all my friends were like doing their bet. Like they would all get these fucking giant metal ball bearings
and try to do
and
that.
And just constantly try to do his hand thing with
have you
the
seen
ball.
How they do that?
Uh-uh.
There's literally a juggler behind him on his knees with his face against his ass, reaching out of his fucking sleeve while his arms behind his back. There's another man behind him
doing those motions.
Doing that.
Oh, fuck.
While he stands there and does it.
Okay, that makes me feel a million times better about my life.
Yeah.
Because I was like, if he can do all this song and do that shit with that ball, like, that's unfair.
Yeah, if you watch, like, I don't know if it's just on YouTube, but if you have the DVD for Labyrinth, it's on the second fucking disc. Funny. They show it, and he does that fucking, when he does this shit,
yeah,
that's fucking crazy. That guy is doing that. Like, not in not in his most optimized environment with his face to his back, reaching out his sleeve and blindly doing that while David Bowie stands there and delivers lines. So if he fucks up and drops, David Bowie's got to do the line over. Mm-hmm. If he fucking does the line perfect or vice versa, like the other one's fucking the other one up.
That's funny.
Fool me once, man. I was fucking over there. I couldn't do it.
So he makes the band Tin Machine, trying to be a part of a band instead of a solo act. And it just doesn't fucking work. The whole world is like, what's David Bowie doing in a band? Like, isn't that David? Is this a new David Bowie song? And they're like, no, it's Tin Machine. And they're like, no, it's David Bowie.
Yeah, you like, can't go back. No. That's the problem. You can't be like, oh, he's that's
there's
like
no way.
That might be like how like Keanu Reeves had trouble with like Dogstar, Kevin Bacon, like all those motherfuckers try to have bands. You know what I mean? Right. It's like, that's Kevin Bacon. That's Keanu Reeves. Like, yeah, it's hard to be just.
Fucking Eddie Murphy. He had great, like, party all the time. Yeah. Great single. Sorry, you're Eddie Murphy.
Scarlett Johansson has shit. Like, all these.
Scarlett Johansson, I should love this. Scarlett Johansson, who has a beautiful singing voice, beautiful,
I think I've
heard has an album of covers of Tom Waits songs. Mm-hmm. Tom Waits is one of my all-time favorite musicians and songwriters, and it was produced by David Bowie.
Yeah, that's got to be a fucking like it's just home run, right?
It's not good. I can't listen to it.
What's that? Wow. What is that?
Scarlett Johansson covering Tom Waits, produced by David Bowie. Is it just weird because he went like weird with it? Like she took too much direction from him and should have covered the song?
They didn't go far enough.
Hmm.
It was like you're tackling the most esoteric, bizarre, carnival, weird folk music ever.
It was like karaoke
you
or?
Need to make it a million times more bizarre or like it just felt so generic and poppy and it all lacked the soul that Tom Waits would bring those same songs. So he got a divorce from his first wife and he married the supermodel Iman in 92. He said that they met and quote, I was naming the children the night we met. It was absolutely immediate. So there was just like instant love. They were together, supposedly happily until he died. So, that was a good find. He had a music slump. And during the music slump, he did two things that I thought were pretty innovative. So he created Bowie Bonds, which were,
So people got equity in the rights to his music and future music that wasn't out yet. Is that how it worked?
It was just pre-1990 music. So you would basically like you would own a stake in all of the previous songs.
And whatever his revenue was in his old school songs.
In his old songs, everything pre-1990. Right. And this started in 97 and it would mature. Yeah. So eventually he earned $55 million from the day that it happened. And that was in 97.
Has anyone done anything like that?
No. By 2007, the bonds had matured enough that he fully owned his own rights again.
Hmm.
So he made $55 million selling portions of the rights to his songs.
And then what happens to people that own the bonds again, though?
I don't know. But by 2007, the catalog was returned to him.
Because isn't 2007
when the bonds
like,
had matured enough to
like
2007.
Real estate market crash, crazy times? Like what year was that?
Just before. I think that was 2008.
Yeah.
So that was just before.
I mean, he made $55 million. Why didn't anyone follow course and do that? Why didn't anyone replicate that? There must be
nobody owned all their old catalog.
Oh, that's true for sure.
Then he created BowieNet, and I thought this was fucking great. So it was pretty much exactly like America Online. This is in 97, 1995 a month. You would get access to dial up on BowieNet. Your default loading page was davidbowie.com. You got an email that was at davidbowie.com, which is awesome. So I would have been David Moten at davidbowie.com. You got five megabytes of storage, and he would post, and everybody figured it out. He would get on chat rooms all the time on BowieNet with the username of Sailor.
How cool would that be?
And he would just start fucking shooting the shit with people in a chat room. And
he was like, "Hi, I'm Billy Idol."
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'm sure a lot of people didn't know it was him, but once people figured it out, you'd have been like, "Oh fuck, this is actually David Sailor. Bowie." Yeah. Like, you know, and he even like was he again so ahead of the curve. He released a song called "Telling Lies," and if you were on BowieNet, you could just download it and for free. You would just download it and stream it, and have it. So it was sort of, and that was about a year ahead of Napster, a year or two.
Right. Yeah, he had ahead of Napster. He was like, he was almost supportive of it. He was like, once people take this on, Napster will just be one of many. He was so right, you know, of listening platforms.
Yep.
I mean, the big ones took over, Google Music.
Yeah, for sure.
But there was a bunch of shit until the dust settled.
Right. So then he had a slump in the 90s. He ended up wanting to do a tour in America, but he knew that he didn't have the youth market anymore. And he knew that the youth market was the market that buys albums, goes to concerts. And he wanted to tap back into that. So he made a decision that his label didn't agree with, which was, I want Nine Inch Nails to open for me on my tour. And I actually have a live album of the tour, which was some bootleggy place was selling them. And it's kind of funky.
A bootleggy place.
Like, I don't remember where I got it. It's
Johnny's Records.
It's not like an official album that you can buy, you know, wherever. But it's a two-disc set. And the first disc is a Nine Inch Nails concert. And it's pretty early Nine Inch Nails. And at the end, they cover, I forget what, but they cover a Bowie song. And then Bowie comes out and does a song with Nine Inch Nails. And then, like, there's no break. The members of Nine Inch Nails, one by one, get replaced with Bowie's band as they keep playing songs until it's now just a full David Bowie concert.
Oh, weird.
And it's kind of fucking cool.
Yeah.
He did, which I love this song and I love this music video. He did a song called I'm Afraid of Americans. And Nine Inch Nails did the music for it, and Trent Reznor produced it, but David Bowie wrote the lyrics and does the singing, and it was on a David Bowie album. Great fucking song. Like, the whole premise is like, I'm afraid of Americans, like as a British person, like, and the whole video is Trent Reznor dressed up as Trent Reznor, walking around in the streets behind David Bowie, and David Bowie's freaking out because this fucking thug looking weirdo goth guy is walking around behind, not even like crazy Trent Reznor, just like what he would wear in an interview, you know? And then one by one, he keeps seeing kids that are like acting like they're soldiers and shooting each other, and like people shooting at cops. And it's like the whole thing is just every American is like miming that they have a gun and they're shooting each other and everything's violent, and he's freaking out and trying to escape it. And
right.
The whole lyrics are about being afraid of Americans and the world. He's afraid of the world. Great video, great song. Man's
government informant is trying gun control.
That's right.
Secret propaganda, man.
Apparently it worked. It was a huge concert.
What do you do in 20 years? We find out like the CIA paid fucking Nine Inch Nails and David Bowie to like do it to the masses for us, group of kids. Like, that's the kind of shit that happens, though. They do that shit.
Right. But the thing is, though, the way the other CIA operations would have worked, we would find out that the CIA paid for it, but none of them knew the CIA paid for it. The CIA was bankrolling this one music producer who was telling these people, hey, you know, it'd be a great idea. Yeah. I'm afraid. Subtle, so it's like, you know, the CIA wouldn't have directly been giving him the paycheck. He kept releasing albums. He did some stuff with Arcade Fire in 2008. He did a concert with his 50th birthday. The concert was in Madison Square Garden. It was Lou Reed, Dave Grohl, the Foo Fighters, The Cure, Billy Corgan, members from the Pixies, Sonic Youth. So it's like all these people come out. He did the Scarlett Johansson album. It was in 2008, Anywhere I Lay My Head. 2004, he had a heart attack on stage in Germany, but he fully recovered. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 96. 2006, the Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. He didn't release anything for a while. In 2013, he released an album called The Next Day, which on release was number two on the Billboard charts. And so he went through a slump. He picked it up with Nine Inch Nails, and then he kind of went off of the music scene for a while. But at that point, he released albums at a slower pace, but they were all very wide, like critics praised them, and they all exploded. So like once he came back at a slower release,
he had a heart attack at some point. Did you mention that? Yeah, I said that.
And then in 2015, and I didn't quite track this. He collaborated on a play called Lazarus, an off-Broadway musical starring Michael C. Hall from Dexter. And he revisited the character from The Man Who Fell to Earth. So that character got in his fucking head, man.
So Sarah, that's the chops he's got. He's like, well, I could be a goblin king or I could be the space guy. Like, which one do I go with?
Or I could be a different space guy or a Nazi.
Yeah,
or I could live in the post-apocalyptic 1984 world. Like and there was another one that I don't even have in my notes. And at one point, one article was like, which he also did a similar thing when he took on this character for this album. And I don't even remember what that character was. But something about that Man Who Fell to Earth character informed the Thin White Duke, and he ended up coming back to write a musical that was somewhat of a sequel of The Man Who Fell to Earth, which, again, give me my musical time machine. I would go back to 2015 watch that play.
You know what we need if we could go back and bring him back is the Dr. Doolittle version where all his characters are sitting at a Thanksgiving dinner.
Well, like we don't want to bring him back.
That he did. Like he's just sitting up there with
a conversation with himself.
But that'd be a good movie. That'd be funny. Movie. Yeah.
All the Bowies. They might be able to do it. They have enough digital footage now that they could probably just pull it off.
They could pull it off.
You got somebody look like him. I mean, it's just like anything else. Right. You know? Just portray Bowie and have him sitting around. Yeah, but to have someone
that looks like Eddie Murphy do like the fucking Dr. Doolittle shit, that's not going to work.
Well, that's different though.
Right. Yeah. Just get different actors. To be those different personas.
Yeah. Well, it could be one actor that looks like him, sounds like him, and can do all of them.
I think they could just fucking digitally do that.
Yeah, but then everyone's going to take a big fat shit all over it and say it doesn't look good enough.
No, you do. You do. A real actor could do it. Yeah. I mean, it's just like anything else.
Yeah, maybe get the Uncanny Valley thing going on where for an actor, like, oh, well, it's not him. That's why.
Right.
You know who looks crazy is that guy that plays Robin Williams, that does the Robin Williams impression.
See, there you go. You're already talking yourself into it.
Have you fucking seen that guy?
I'm sure I have.
Dude, it's crazy. He fucking looks like him. He talks like him. He's done his own like little short.
Does he do like shitty comedy like him too? Like,
he just does. You take that back. You shut your fat whore mouth.
Oh man, I almost punched a guy wearing a Goonie shirt on Saturday.
That's fine.
Yeah, it was a chick.
The guy was probably stupid.
No, it was a chick though. I couldn't tell if it was a guy or a girl. It ended up being a girl, so I didn't punch him.
So he died 2 days after his 69th birthday.
After his album had been out for 3 days.
Yep, his album came out. He died a couple days later.
I'm gonna say he planned his death. I didn't quite understand what happened. I guess the album deals with like mortality and like saying goodbye.
And he was dying of cancer.
And then he was dying, and he like launched it like perfectly.
Right.
And there's a TV show or something about it too. He had like a show come out and that Black Star album at the same time, and then he died 3 days later.
Crazy.
Like this guy was like, that is the most amazing like theatrical like performance.
Exit. Yeah,
like,
bow
exit.
Out.
He's
yeah.
like, how brave. Like you knew you're fucking dying. You faced it, used it, owned it, and like landed it like on the fucking dot. You release it with that type of content, this depressing, dark album, and then die 3 days
after.
And it
won 4 Grammy Awards. In 2019, the BBC said that David Bowie won in a viewer poll for greatest entertainer of the 20th century. All entertainers. He beat out Charlie Chaplin, Billie Holiday, Marilyn Monroe, like actor, musician, whatever. In the UK, they said that he was number one. And I will say, if you haven't seen the David Bowie episode of Flight of the Conchords, you should go watch it because it's fucking great.
They want to take a Easy Guitar Bowie, like Brooks, back to Bowie.
Yeah.
They said that UFC fighter, they're doing Flight of the Conor McGregor to mimic that. Conor McGregor, UFC fighter, he's doing a parody of it. Flight of the Conor McGregor instead of Flight of the Conchord.
That's so far.
What?
I like the straight delivery, yeah. though. He's just owning
it. Like, no, why are you laughing?
Yeah.
No, like, it's happening. He's like, look, I'll show you.
You haven't seen it?
Yeah. It wouldn't make any sense if that was real.
It is.
Mm-mm,
no. Yeah, well, you think I made that up?
No.
Nicolas Cage is doing a second movie called Fly the Con Air instead of Fly the Conchords.
Now we're talking. Yeah.
See, that's yeah. stupid. That doesn't even make sense.
No.
Jeez.
Oh, you're canned chili. How we put up with it.
Whatever. You haven't even had it. Like I said, all these people talking shit.
Make me some.
All these people talking shit. Now people on social media talking shit about the chili and ain't even ever had it before.
I've never talked shit about that.
I'm not saying. I'm looking at you because I ain't even acknowledging him right now.
You know what would be amazing?
He doesn't even exist.
If you did the whole recipe.
Fucking short ass man.
And use canned chili.
Don't want no short man.
But then canned it and sold it. That would be amazing if you recanned it and then sold it. And be a Brad's canned chili, but it was actually canned chili with your recipe. And then everyone bought it, and it's from a can. So the expectation is that it's from a can anyway. That's marketing brilliance. How did, after the Conor McGregor thing, I end up the weird one? So social media winner this week is going to be Ryan Beardface on Instagram.
Beardface.
Yeah, simply goes by Ryan. He's got that name. There's no last name there. But Frankie Pigeons will sort that out and contact you and send you a sticker pack from Print Dirt Cheap for participating on social media. That was over on Instagram. So check out Ryan Beardface over there. Brad's going to go look him up right now, see what he looks like, get a little taste. Mm-hmm. Also, we are part of the Podbelly Podcast Network. You go to podbelly.com and check out cool podcasts like Robots for Ice Podcast and Art and Jacob Do America. Also, I was just going to give some shout outs to some other podcasts that are just listeners, actually. Stranger Happenings, Bill Smith, Jamie Flood, and Todd O'Neill have a podcast called Stranger Happenings. So if you haven't heard that, go check it out. Sounds like a lot of stuff that we cover, similar kind of podcast. So if you like us, you will like them. Cool people, longtime listeners, all of them. I know all mm-hmm. those names. And then also Flask at Hand podcast. That's Jake Williams and friends. I don't know who else is on that podcast offhand, but, go check that out. Flask at Hand and check out Stranger Happenings. They probably have profiles, I believe, on Podbelly under the normal directory. Mm-hmm. So go check them out over there. Also, thank you to El Yucateco Hot Sauce. That is our primary sponsor. They are amazing. If you have a child, start them young. If they're at least 12 years of age, start introducing small drops at a time in their food until you can increase that to something, a respectable volume of sauce. Go to shopelyucateco.com and get every sauce flavor is available. They have multi-flavor packs, but if you can't find it, that is definitely a place you can get it. They also sell merch. They got shirts and all kinds of cool stuff over there. So go check that out. If you are in some weird region of the world, for some reason they won't deliver. I think they don't deliver everywhere. You can just Google it and it is available. Why is Brad smiling into the, it's making me nervous. He's in his happy place. There's a midget riding a pony right now. But just Google it. You can go to mexgrocer.co.uk. In most places you can get that. Most major grocery stores have it. If you see it in the wild, please take a picture of it. Tag us, tag them. Also check out Print Dirt Cheap at printdirtcheap.com. Brad's sucking on an 8-pound, 6-ounce baby over there. That's big ass water, bro. That's a water baby. He's going to get bathroom birth in a minute. Damn. Keep going. Chug, chug, chug. See if you can finish it. You could.
Yeah, I could.
Do it.
Nah, my stomach will hurt.
I know. You prove it, though. We're on a show. This is entertainment.
I don't need to prove anything to you.
Yeah, you do.
That's the longest bit of silence we've ever had.
Drink your water. Longest bit of silence from what? I haven't stopped talking yet. Watching him drink water. Watching you drink water?
No, this whole time.
Oh, because you can't hear me. I don't exist. I'm talking to you now again. Oh, I see. It was so quiet before when I didn't exist. Mad about canned chili, I'm so sure. Also, check out 2-Day Banners, the number 2daybanners.com. You can use code SOFAKING Podcast to save some money. If you need a banner and need it fast, that is the place to get it. Also, check out Jimmy D's Tees at jimmydstees.com and across social media. Go tell him that you love him. If you need something made, he can do it for you. He makes stuff for us, and that's at sofakingpodcast.com/shop. If you want to support us and you can't do it on a reoccurring basis, but you want to represent, we have shirts and hats and all kinds of cool stuff over there. So go place an order, and I will ship it out to you. Also, check out SKR Apparel at SUIKERApparel.com. Use code SOFAKING to save 10%. And check out Retro Vague. You can use code 80SKIG to save some money over there. And then check out. Wait, there's a noise coming from over here. I'm trying to figure out where I'm at.
I was trying to get out of the mic.
Oh,
Oh, I thought you were trying to see if I still existed over here.
I thought you were bobbing and weaving.
Yeah. Also, check out Mindframe Podcast across all listening platforms. And on that note, that is all I have. If you can hear me, Brad, it's your turn. Oh, it's Dave's turn.
See how disrespectful.
I was going to actually talk about it. So when I was pulling up here at Bum Corner, right over there, there was a cart that
crack
was like
radio.
Full of a bum's possessions.
Right.
Yeah.
And there were
technically
like,
bums can't own anything.
True. But there were two bums sitting on the road, like sitting up against
Dave just agreed with me.
Sitting up against the wall. And then there was a bum cart and then two people.
It's called a BART.
Like full stinky drawers, like, you know, like half a shoe, like the full deal.
Floppy shoe.
Fighting
the front
over
or the
this
back.
Cart.
They're fighting over it? There's good front. Stuff in there.
Yeah, all heels.
But I had the sense that the two people sitting on the ground, it was like their stuff. But then these two were like having a bum fight over the cart, and it almost looked like the two on the ground were like letting it happen, like seeing how this
they
was going to play
it,
out.
Yeah.
And it started to get really violent, and I pulled up and just to like break it up, and I recognized that the two like shitty pant, like one shoe bums were two of our patrons.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It was Shane Larson and Matthew McQueen. I guess they drive around and they dress like bums.
They put good shit in a cart.
They call it going native.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they go out they try it's really weird. They root through a cart and take stuff, but then they put stuff in the cart at the same time on the sly that's worth more than the stuff they took.
Yeah.
So like they'll leave
they call it giving back to the community.
Yeah, they'll leave like a $50 gift card, and then they'll take like I don't know, a tin can with that used to have beans in it, and they have a collection in the basement of all these like artifacts. But they go down there to
it's like the skull and bones thing, but with bums. Like they take bum artifacts instead of skulls.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. They take those artifacts.
Go Native was the slogan for El Yucateco's ad campaign. Which is why they called it that.
They're promoting. Yeah, they're leaving little, mini bottles, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, with
like
the gift
that.
Card was a bottle of Yucateco. Yeah. I thought it'd be really funny just to give homeless people that don't have shoes to go give them Heelys. This would be fucking.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah, they're expensive.
That would be good. Yeah.
Those are fucking expensive.
Might be pay off. It's a bunch of. They're either like. Like
it'd be better.
Ice.
It'd be better to get a bus and throw them in it and fucking take them out to the desert.
Dude, I thought about that. The Sack Lunch Beach Bus.
Yeah.
We need an old sheriff one that has the locking cage door.
No, there's no willingness to get on. I'm gonna kidnap these motherfuckers.
Nah, it's easier with the Sack Lunch. You just lure them on and be like, hey, we're gonna go to the beach. You guys want to go? We're gonna pick up at 9 tomorrow, and then we'll bring you back to town by 5.
Yep.
And you just get a sack.
Town, what town? Free,
yeah, ham sandwich, Doritos, and an apple, and a Capri Sun. And you just start handing bags as they get on the bus. You go around, pick everybody up, you drop them off the beach. Be like, I'll be back here at 5, and you just don't come back.
Yep.
Yeah.
Drop off at the beach. No, I'm not taking them to the beach.
Fuck yeah, they might decide to stay.
No, we're taking them to Death Valley. Drop them off right in the fucking center.
You get in trouble for that.
Fucking drop them off in Santa Monica, man.
Yeah,
they don't want to leave there.
You might stay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and fuck Santa Monica. Yeah.
Or Sacramento, dude.
Sacramento's
drop
already
them
got
off
enough.
In Sacramento.
I almost feel bad.
And then while you're there, you can fucking stop at Total Wine.
True.
Get some whiskey on
the there's one down south, too. I was going to go buy it, but we ended up not going.
You know how you really line it up is also have a Facebook Marketplace ad to sell a bus. And then you don't even have to drive that bitch back. You know what I mean?
No, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, you drive it there.
You
sell that.
Yeah.
You just buy a different shit bus on the way back.
No. You don't buy it. No, you just get somebody needs their car moved.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like fucking then you just drive their car back. Because that's a thing that people used to do that shit.
Like you come and then take their car back to Bakersfield?
Wherever they needed it. Like they drove it to LAX and they need somebody to bring it back because they're going to fly back into Bakersfield. That happens.
Because mass arrangement. You have to organize the car deal before the bum trip.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The bum trip can be any time. Yeah, there's no pressing. Happen. Yeah. There's no press. And I think, man, if you got a big enough bus, you can load up a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm thinking a lot. You don't have to worry about fire capacity. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Or what if just the bus caught on fire?
We could call it the Bakersfield Underprivileged Management.
Yeah.
So anyway, thanks for being patrons.
Yeah.
We support your going native.
Yeah, thanks, Chase Larson and Jimmy Neutron.
To those that are about to go native, we salute you.
Yeah. Is it my turn?
Yes.
If you're on Reddit, go to r/SofaKingPodcast. Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. We are at SofaKingPodcast. Personal Instagrams, I'm at RaisedWithWolves. We have SofaKingBrent, SofaKingDave. Also check out LUTECO_HotSauce, Jimmy D's Tees, and Podbelly. Don't be retarded.